morning again, friends. I really love this time of year. I know it's not officially fall, but kids are back to school. Here next week, we're back to Sunday school. And there's a season change right around the corner. And I don't know about you, but I always feel a lot of hope in all the change and transition. It's like a fresh start. And that's why I'm focusing this morning on this passage in Jeremiah. It's such a simple yet powerful image. The potter and their clay. The idea that God is shaping our lives and even shaping who we are becoming day by day, using the things that happen to us and the people in our lives to make us who we are, to mold us. Here's a question that I'd love to actually hear some answers for, so don't be shy. You know, sometimes I like to get you to just call out. Don't be shy. I wonder this morning what has shaped you. So something that has made you who you are. It could be going to a camp. It could be being the oldest child. For me, being an identical twin has really shaped the kind of person I am. What are some things that have shaped you that if it hadn't happened, you'd be a different person? Keith. Being at the Naval Academy. That's right. That's a good one. Others, what are some things that have shaped you? Diane.
Growing up on a farm.
Growing up on a farm. Big time. Absolutely. I hear that even from you. That's important in your life. Noelle.
Going on mission trips as a youth and an adult
really shaped Noelle. I bet a lot of us could say that, huh? Those of you who are parents, that totally changes you, right? The minute you become a parent, they say everything changes, right? Anyone else? Things that have shaped you and molded you? We all have things. That's a big question. The kinds of things in our lives that make us the person that we are, that if they went different, we would have gone different. And we know that whatever age that we are, those things are always happening. We are always becoming someone that God is shaping and forming. Now, a lot of us can remember the very painful and exhilarating time of being a teenager or a young adult when it felt like every single thing meant something about who you were becoming. We have that at every stage, but that's a really ripe time. And I know a few years ago, Jason and I just went through a move, 4 moves in 4 years, and one of them was into a freshman dorm at Georgetown University, because I was a chaplain for the freshmen. And one of my student neighbors came to me one day just racked with questions and angst. He was so upset because he was taking an intro to Buddhism class, and he loved it, but it was making him question everything he believed about suffering, about why things happened in the world. He did not know how to move forward. He said, "It's like my mind is just exploding." And I know a lot of you are probably thinking, well, that's college for you. There's going to be more of that. And that's kind of what I was thinking, too. This is the perfect time for you to be looking at everything and questioning and figuring it out. But I wonder how many of us are that open to change and growth and learning all throughout our lives. Those of us who are more settled and established, are we that open as that college freshman, to the ways that God might be trying to blow apart our minds, our ways of thinking? And what about those of you, when I put that question out there and asked, what has shaped you? What about those of you who maybe thought of a negative experience? Things that were traumatic or that felt like they tested your character? We're changed and formed not only by the good things, but also by the bad. Will Rogers had a quote that always makes me laugh, that makes me think of the nation of Israel being shaped by bad things. He said, there are 3 kinds of people: the ones that learn by reading, the few who learn by observation, and then the rest just have to pee on the electric fence for themselves. They have to figure it out the hard way. And the nation of Israel, if you read the Old Testament, was definitely that 3rd kind of person where they were constantly figuring things out the hardest way possible. That's how they got shaped. They definitely had to pee on the electric fence. They turned to God for direction and help, and they would prosper. But then, always, they would turn away from God and trust in themselves and their leaders alone. They'd fall back into that pattern. And that's when they faltered. That's when everything would fall apart. And Jeremiah the prophet, he knew when this reading was shared with the people, when he shared this word from the Lord, he knew a time was coming
when the nation of Israel would experience exile from their land. Tragic loss because of following their plans, just their plans. And he was trying to warn them and remind them that the way that God works, God actually can shape the future and change God's mind. So he used this image of God as a potter at a wheel, working on us. Much later in the Christian scriptures, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament would agree with Jeremiah's image of God as this potter. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we have this treasure, this soul, this spirit, this sacred thing. We have this treasure in jars of clay. So our bodies being just like clay jars that have been shaped, and within is all this sacred stuff. So these simple everyday vessels that we walk around in, they can contain emptiness and despair, or they can contain treasures. God is trying to make us for a use, despite our cracks and lumps, despite the fact that some of us are harder to work with than others. God is trying to make us all for a use. But the human story again and again is that we resist God's work on us. It's not just Israel. Human beings do this. There's one very known, well-known pastor in the South named Charles Stanley, and he said, we are either in the process of resisting God's truth, or we're in the process of being shaped by it, molded by it. So again, I want you to think about, for yourself, what has shaped you? What is shaping you right now? Changing the kind of person that you're becoming, the kind of parent, the kind of spouse, the kind of worker, the kind of retiree. What is shaping the kind of person that you're becoming? What guides your everyday life? What do you contain within you right now, and how did that get there? Are you open enough and flexible enough for God to touch you and change you where you might need it? Because the molding process is harder than it looks. It's hard for the potter, and it's hard for us too, being the clay. There are so many unknowns in our lives, so many times where it seems like we are just that lump of clay, and we cannot imagine becoming anything else. We feel like we're just starting from scratch. And sometimes when God is changing us, it feels like a process of trial and error. And maybe we're surprised to hear in this passage that God sometimes has to start over. Sometimes God has to get us to that place where we're starting from scratch, starting from nothing, rebuilding from what feels like nothing. That was in this passage, and I know some people think, why would God have to do that? Why would God have to start over? Doesn't God have a plan and a blueprint? Well, yes, God does, but God imagines something for us in our lives that includes this great, great freedom. And because we have the freedom to resist God, sometimes God has to start over on us because he's constantly working with what we make of our lives. The plans that we make don't often work out so well with what God imagines for us, and we do often have to learn the lessons the hard way. If you've ever watched pottery in action, it's not easy making something beautiful, because first, the clay has to be mixed with just the right amount of water. Too much, and it'll be sticky and muddy. Too little water, and it will totally crumble. Like we talked about, if it's hard, it won't work. It won't mold. Just look at us, how much more complicated we are than clay, even our bodies alone. The little bit that I've learned over the years about anatomy and biology helps me see how very complicated we are. And even Psalm 139 says, God formed all these pieces of us together, knit us together in our inmost being, all that complicated stuff within us, that God made that, and God can put all the broken pieces together to make one meaningful whole. A spleen or a pancreas or a heart is nothing by itself, but God put it all together. And God can do that with the other parts of our lives too that don't make sense on their own until they're connected together. But do we trust that? Do we trust that God can take the things that don't make sense and make a meaningful whole? Or do we resist because the process is so hard? It might be easier to believe that nothing ever really changes. People don't really change, right? We might be defined by a lot of those negative experiences, self-fulfilled prophecies, and they may have hardened us. Randy Pausch, who wrote the book The Last Lecture, once said, "Experience is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted. But experience is the best thing that you have to offer the world." I want to say that again because it's so wise. Experience is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted. But experience is the best thing that you have to offer the world. Some of us today might feel deeply discouraged in some area of our lives. We might no longer really believe deep down that God is working with us, that God is watching us. We might think to ourselves, "I see God doing a lot for other people, but I just feel like a cracked pot. I was once a beautiful vessel, but now I just feel like a big lump of clay. I just don't know." Well, one blessing we have in our scriptures is that that's okay if you feel that way, because God has stories galore of using lots of other cracked pots just like us. God used Moses, a man who could barely get through a sentence without stuttering, and who even killed a man. God used Sarah, who was over the age of 90, to birth the entire nation of Israel. God used King David, who was an adulterer and a murderer, to write the Psalms, to write things like that beautiful psalm we read this morning. And God used Jeremiah, who we hear from today, who protested and resisted God. You heard a few weeks ago if you were here. He did not want to be used by God. He said, "I'm only a boy." And God used all these people. And the message of the whole Bible is that God prefers to use these worn, cracked, lumpy pots, so to speak, to give good news to a world that is worn and cracked and lumpy and broken. That's the kind of God that we serve. And yet, God gave us that freedom not to respond, not to be used. None of us has to let God in. Yet the whole reason we even have this choice is that God wants a relationship with us. He wants a real give and take, where God reaches out and we reach back, where God touches us and we are shaped, we respond. It's the equivalent to that person in your lives who loves you with this big warm hug, and you can either tense up and resist and push them away, or you can breathe and relax into that love that will enfold you and mold you and carry you. So the question is, do we trust God to mold our lives into something beautiful, something that can help others? Do we trust God to do what seems best? That part, the trust part, is what is up to us. And the rest, thank God, is in the potter's hands. Amen.